Told you you'd be glad you came. Amen. 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 We don't take, at least I don't, and I know many of you don't, these services for granted. I mean, we're a blessed people. Amen. Amen. At Raccoon Creek. Going to continue, not our series, but going to move along in it of Can You Hear Me Now? Still going to talk about that kind of stuff. Talked about the last several weeks about what we can do and what we can expect when it comes to walking with God. 1 Samuel chapter 3 was our foundational verse of Scripture where it talked about all kinds of different things. Not going to review that in detail for you this morning, but you can get the CDs if you missed that. All you have to do is see Philip Morris back there with the green shirt on. He's got his hand up. Sits back right on my side, back left your side every Sunday, and you can get those. Think it's needed in the church. One of the things that I talked about was that a mega church pastor that has come out with a new book made this statement in his book, and he's talking about church attendance and the drop-off of church attendance, especially in the younger generations. And in his book, one of the things that he said that was highlighted was that that people are leaving church, in his opinion, because we just haven't made church interesting enough for people. Yeah, the couple of shaking the heads and moanings, but, you know, that's partly true from one perspective, and that is God isn't interesting to me. God is powerful. God is mighty. God is holy. There's nobody like him. And if we go to try to make him interesting to people, then when do we have to stop doing that? I mean, eventually you run out of ideas, don't you, Jennifer? I mean, you can only be so creative. And you know what? I don't have to sell God. How about you? He sells himself. He sold himself on me, on the golf course, a few minute conversation or less than a minute conversation, and he sold himself to me. I didn't need anybody talking about how good he was. I didn't need anybody telling me how great he was. I didn't need anybody telling me how mighty he was. He let me know that all by himself. And you know what? It changed my life. Just like some of you had a similar circumstance that God drew himself to you and you didn't need any clarification with anything else. You're here today after 20, 30, 40, some 50 or 60 years because of that one conversation that he had that impacted you that you'll never be able to shake. God is not an interesting God, but he is interesting. Amen. He is interesting. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He can turn water into wine. He can make your situation what you need it to be, even though you don't have anything that relates to your situation. But he can take what you've got, just like the fishes and loaves, and bless it and cause it to be more than enough. He's very interesting. He's very powerful. But I'll tell you today that I think, in my opinion, and I'm not a scholar or anything else, but just in my own life and being in ministry as long as I've been in it and talking to church folks as long as I've talked to them, I believe that the reason people are dropping out of church is because it's turned into, for them, just one more thing for them to do to occupy their time and to take their money. In other words, they're not seeing the power of God in their life. They're not seeing the power of God in worship. They're not feeling the presence of God in worship. They're not feeling the presence of God in their own personal life. Now, some of that, Brad, some of that has to do with me. I've got to do that myself. I've got to get ready for Sunday, Monday through Saturday. And if I'm just taking Sunday and using it as my wagon to get me through the week, I'm going to be disappointed. And I'm not going to grow in my relationship with God, because God wants to draw you and bring you up and cause you to grow. He wants for you to grow and be better than you've ever been. He wants to show you things that you've never seen, that you can never see without him. He wants to do great and mighty things. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future, an expected end. Plans to prosper. My mind goes right to that. I know the plans that I have for you. My mind goes for that. God's plan is always the best plan, right? But a lot of times people get in churches and they don't see any power. They don't see any miracles. They don't, and what we're talking about in this series is they don't hear from him. But, thank you. It would make sense to me that if God spoke to me to get me, then he would speak to me as he keeps me. Right? But too many times we get saved, Gary, in the Baptist church, in the Methodist church, in the Presbyterian church, in the Pentecostal churches, we get saved, and then we sit on the pew, and then we listen to the sermons and the preaching, and we don't ever think about God talking anymore. And the people that say, hey, God spoke to me the other day about you and said this, or God showed me this the other day and said this about this situation, would you believe what God said to me? We start looking at them like they got four eyeballs and three ears, and one of them's right here. When everybody in the book God spoke to. In fact, Timothy says, 2 Timothy says that book is God-breathed. In other words, they wrote what they heard God say. So everything that we're reading, everything that we're preaching today was a thus saith the Lord kind of thing. And this is what God said kind of thing. And a kind of thing that said that they were saying to their people around them, man, you wouldn't believe what God showed me today about himself. He actually told me to write it down. He told John the Revelator to write down a bunch of stuff that nobody would even know about. He told him that. He told him what to write down. He showed him what to do. He showed him all this stuff. And yet people in this day and time in 2018 look at people that talk like that as being weird. And yet our churches are doing this. Our country is doing this. Our world is doing this. Could it be that we need a lot more of that to correct and right the ship? Our families are getting divorced in the church at one of the highest rates in history. Well, man, that guy's weird. He says God talks to him. Well, you know what? Based on your marriage, you need to start listening. You need to start listening. You need to start doing what thus saith the Lord. You need to start pressing into God and getting a word, a devah from God for your marriage and your family, because if you don't, it's going to be broke up. No amens. Amen. Alimony's in your future if you don't. Child support's in your future if you don't. And then when your house breaks up, the enemy knows the doors that can be opened to your kids and your grandkids. And all of a sudden now you create a generational curse to where now multiple generations are battling divorce because somebody wouldn't say, you know what, it stops right here. And as for me and my house, by gosh, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus. We're going to serve the Lord. And everything that comes with him, I want. I'll never forget the day that I went to James Black and I told him that. I said, James, I was reading the book of Acts, and that's the wrong book to read if you're a Baptist. Right here in this church, I went up to him one day after Sunday morning service, and I said, hey, I said, James, I was reading the book of Acts, and you know him? Yes, brother. And I said, everything in there is what I want if that's what God's got for me. He said, okay, come to church tonight, and we'll pray for you. Just like that. Come to church tonight, and we'll pray for you. What's that called? That's called discipling. That's called what in First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, when it says that Samuel was sitting under Eli, that's called sitting under somebody that knows more than you do. Why did I go to him and not somebody else? Because I knew that he knew what I needed to know and what I wanted to know. I wanted to get something that I knew he had. You see, it does matter who you hang with, you know. And it doesn't even have to matter in a bad way. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 that bad company corrupts. And you know, in other words, if you put it in today's language, who you hang around is who you'll be. So let's just twist it around to Christianity. Who are you hanging around? Because that's who you're going to be like. Where you go to church is what you're going to believe. Statistics show that the congregations of any church within, I think, 4 to 6 years take on the personality and the belief system of their pastor, no matter who it is. Good, bad, or indifferent. A lot of folks in this room have sat under people that preached falsehood, and they believed it for a while. And God had to do some deliverance on them and get their mind right and start thinking right. It had to undo all that stuff. So who are you hanging around? Eli was pouring into Samuel, imperfect man and everything else. But you know, we're going on with this series, and the next chapter of it would make sense to be, how do you know when God is speaking? Right? How do you know when God is speaking? Because Samuel was in the church house and didn't recognize God's voice. Samuel was being trained in the church house, and the one who was in there trained him how to hear what God was saying and that God was speaking to him. So how do we do it? Well, first off, we've got to know that we have multiple voices. And we're not crazy, right? A lot of people that hear a lot of voices, they're institutionalized. And for some of them, that's where they need to be. But at the root of all of it, they're hearing one voice that many of us hear and entertain every single day, and that's the enemy. That's the devil. He's got a voice. We've got a voice. And God's got a voice. Let me tell you what they sound like. When it's God, I read something this week that really put it in perspective, and I thought, you know what, that's right. Most of the time, that's right. They said, when it comes to God, you'll know it's his voice because there's love at the foundation of what he's saying. In other words, he's not going to say, you know what, you're fat and you're ugly. He's not going to say that. Now, what he might tell me, and he's told me before, is this. You need to start taking better care of yourself. Big difference. One sounds like a dad. One sounds like a bully. Guess who the bully is? The devil, right? So the devil says things like that, says things in that regard. God says things with a foundation of love. I'll say things like this. I'm late. I'm an idiot. I'm a jerk. It's the tense there is pointing and speaking from an I'm perspective. God will say you. The enemy will say you. When I'm speaking to myself in my own mind and saying things to myself, I'm saying I'm, okay? I'm. That's when you know it's you. And that doesn't mean it lines up with the Word. Many times what I say about myself doesn't line up with the Word. How about you? We got to line it up with the Word. So there's competing voices that we listen to all the time. But the good thing about all of this is, according to Matthew chapter 27, you don't have to turn there, okay, for the sake of time. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45, it says this about Jesus' crucifixion. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the land. And about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Okay, familiar passage for you. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar, put it on his staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple ripped. The curtain of the temple ripped. Now, that's not a little thing. That's a big thing. Now, the temple curtain was up to 60 feet tall and 4 inches thick, okay? But at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, not bottom to top. In other words, there was only one way it could be ripped, and it was God ripping it. There was nobody that could do it from top to bottom. Only bottom to top. Plus, it was 4 inches thick of woven fabric that was so dense, you couldn't see through it because the Holy of Holies was in there. And only one person could go one time a year, right? So the veil was ripped. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life, and they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. The veil was ripped for a reason. Because what Jesus said, what he screamed to eternity, to everybody there and everybody will ever be born, is that, you know what? Now you can enter into the presence of God yourself, and you can hear from God for yourself. You can go in there and talk to him as much as you want. You don't have to make an appointment. You don't have to be from a certain family. You don't have to be from a certain lineage. You can do it because I've made a way where there wasn't a way before. Amen. Powerful stuff. And he also said this with it. Now you can talk to me. Now I can talk to you. Whenever you want, whenever it pleases you, come on in. The door's always open. The door's always open. So we've got competing voices. We've got the voices of the enemy. We've got our voices. We've got the voices of God. But because of the veil being ripped, we can go enter the Holy of Holies. And we can hear from God whenever we want. But the church, sadly, does not do that. We've got access. Think about this for a second. We've got access to the greatest person that this world and any other world will ever know. And we don't take advantage of that. But he wants to talk to us. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And another one, they will not follow. But there's a lot of people in churches today that don't know the voice of God. So the devil has a voice. In the Garden of Eden, what did he say in Genesis chapter 3? He says to Adam and Eve, as they're walking with God every day they're walking physically with the Lord himself in the Garden of Eden, and the serpent comes along, or they happen on the serpent, and the serpent says, did God really say this? Did God really say what you think he said? The enemy has a voice, and one of the things that he'll do is he'll challenge what God has already said. That's what he'll do, to create doubt and unbelief in you. Not in himself. He already knows the truth. He already knows what he's saying isn't true. But the thing is, we bite that hook, line and sinker, every time, most of the time. Okay, we bite it, we ingest it, and then we get snared by it. Just like Adam and Eve, we can throw a rock at him all day long, but that's what the enemy does. He comes to say, did God really say you shouldn't do that? Did God really say that you shouldn't live like that? Did God really say that that's a sin? Did God really say that? You wouldn't believe how many people that I've talked to over the last 18 months that are Christians that say that you don't have to go to church to honor God with your life. You'll be amazed at that when it's written in the book. And when you point them to the scripture, they just dig in deeper and say, yeah, but I don't believe that. Did God really say? And it's no mistake that their lives look like they do. Their finances look like they do. Their marriages look like they do. And they're calling me or coming to my house with their child to answer spiritual questions that they could get in church. So because you don't go, you're going to come to my house. And what I wanted to say was, brother, I thought it didn't matter. Well, he's suicidal, pastor. He's hearing stuff and he's thinking things that he doesn't need to think. And I know they're demons, but I don't know how to beat him back. I thought it didn't matter. I thought it didn't matter going to church. It does matter. Everything in this book is right. Everything in this book is true. And it's for correction. It's for teaching, Timothy says. It's for lifting you up and teaching you stuff to make you know who you're called to be. Amen. You don't have to bring it to my house. Deal with it in your house. But oh yeah, I forgot. You don't know how to do that because you don't go to church. Because you don't need to. You don't believe that. But you know what the devil does? That's why he's trying to keep you from it. That's why he's coming at your son. That's why he's coming at your family. That's why he's coming at your marriage. Keep believing that. Like Dr. Phil used to always say, how's that working? How's it working? And I don't mean to be funny with that. This is serious stuff. It's serious stuff. The voice of God is real. The devil is real. He has a voice. In the garden, he says that. Did God really say? And even with Jesus, turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Matthew 4 and verse 1. And what I don't want you to hear is there's a devil behind every bush. What I don't want you to hear is that there's a demon behind every corner. But you know what? No matter who you are not immune to the enemy. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 50 years and you fast every week, 3 or 4 days a week, 24 hours a day. Doesn't matter if you read this Bible through every single month. You are not immune to the enemy trying to get into your life and get into your ear with his voice. And I can say that because of this, right here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Did you hear that? The Spirit of God led him into the desert to be tempted. The Holy Spirit did that. Not a demonic spirit. That's a capital S in my NIV. Who else's is capital S? It's the Spirit of God that led him to be tempted. You know, sometimes the Spirit of God will lead you into places that you need to go to bring you down a notch. Sometimes the Spirit of God will lead you into places you need to go to teach you some things because you think you know things that you don't really know. Kind of like my friend that said, I don't need church. Well, all of a sudden the Spirit says, oh, really? Now, I don't know if a light bulb's gone off in his mind over that thing that we had together with his son. But I'm hoping some seed took root. Sometimes the Spirit will bring you into dark places to show you that, you know what, darkness exists. And you're not immune to the enemy. Now, Jesus already knew that. Okay, Jesus already knew that. But listen to what he says. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. If you're going to fast, you're going to get hungry. Well, God called me to fast, so I'm not going to get hungry. Sit and watch. Don't call me. I'll be praying for you. If God calls you to fast, you're going to get hungry. He called him to fast, and he got hungry. If God calls you to fast, you'll see the devil. And if God calls you to fast, you'll hear the devil audibly. Okay? This was an audible conversation. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. Did you hear that? A devah, a rhema word. That's what that word means. Audible voice. Okay, we live by the word of God. Could that be why church isn't interesting? Because we're not getting many words from God. We've got a lot of programs. We've got a lot of teaching. We've got a lot of get-togethers. We've got a lot of fellowship. But fellowship is not, and I know this is a newsflash to a lot of folks, fellowship is needed in church. We should. But don't make the mistake of saying and believing and thinking that fellowship is discipleship, because it's not. Fellowship is not discipleship. Okay? So he says, if you are, then the devil took him to the holy city in verse 5 and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are again the Son of God. You know, eventually I just say, look, let's go ahead and end this right now. I know who I am, dude. The reason you're here is because I'm Jesus. You know, and he's trying to convince the Son of God. Think about that. He's trying to convince with his voice the Son of God to believe something about himself that is not true. The same thing is true with us. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have said that. If you were a Christian and a godly man, you wouldn't have talked to your wife like that or talked to your kids like that. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have had that thought. If you're a Christian, why don't you do this? If you're a Christian, why don't you do that? If you're a Christian, why don't you lift your hands and worship? If you're a Christian, why aren't you in Sunday school? If you're a Christian, why do you work at where you work? If you're a Christian this, if you're a Christian, if Jesus is the Son of God, and he's coming to try to convince him that he isn't who he said that he was. And Jesus has made everything that he's talking to him about giving to him. Think about that. Jesus could have said, brother, I've made the dirt you're standing on. I've made the rocks that we're on top of right now. I'm the one who made all this. I made you. And I saw you fall from heaven. Don't tell me who I am. You need to recognize who you used to be compared to me. Right? He says, if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. So the enemy comes to challenge what God has said according to the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? The enemy also comes to challenge who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. If you're a son of God, if you are the redeemed of God, then you wouldn't do this and you wouldn't do that. Well, with all these voices, we're going to figure out who's who and what's what. But you know what? When it comes to God, there are hindrances to hearing him. There are hindrances to hearing the voice of God. The first hindrance is you've got to be born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to hear from God consistently. I heard from him on the golf course, Abraham, Moses, the disciples. They weren't born again. Many of you weren't born again. He reaches out and shows you who he is by talking to you, okay, communicating with you. But if you're not born again, you can't expect that to be a consistent thing. Danger alert. If you know somebody who's not saved, if you know somebody who's not walking with the Lord, that's born again, that they consistently tell you, you know what? God talks to me all the time. Well, what's he been saying? 90% of the time, what he tells them is contradictory to the word of God, because they're not born again. They can't say that God talks to them all the time if they're not born again, because salvation opens the door to the veil, to where you can go behind the veil, right? When Jesus died, the veil was ripped, and because of him and what he offers us with salvation, it opens the door to communicate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, in John chapter 10 and verse 27, just like I said earlier, he said, my sheep know my voice. In other words, the ones that are mine, the ones that I own, the ones that belong to me, know my voice. A lot of people may think they're hearing from God. I'm not saying you don't hear from him every now and again if you're lost, because he draws you. But to say that you hear from him consistently as somebody that's not born again and that you haven't submitted your life to Jesus, that's a lie straight from the pit. And the enemy's having them to believe that to keep them in bondage and their family in bondage too, to where they can be like my friend. Well, I don't believe that you need to do that. I believe there are other ways to heaven. I don't believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Well, Jesus said that. So is Jesus a liar? Because you got to be careful when you say you don't believe that. Now you're going down a road that has all kinds of weeds in it, right? That you won't even know your way back. Jesus said all that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that there's only one way to God the Father. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. And he backed it up, right? Another way that you can be hindered in hearing the voice of God is hanging around the wrong crowd. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, we said earlier that Samuel was hanging around Eli. He was hanging around somebody that was imperfect, somebody that was not keeping his house right. He wasn't doing things the way that God would have him to do with his sons and his family. But Eli still knew what God sounded like, and he still knew when God was speaking. So it is all in who you are hanging around. If you're hanging around the wrong crowd, if you hang around people that don't believe in the voice of God and don't believe that God speaks anymore, you hear people say all the time, well, God's already spoken, always going to speak, and it's right here. That's not true. There's nothing in Scripture that says that. That's not true. Okay? And if you're hanging around people that say that, don't be surprised if all of a sudden, over the course of several weeks and months, if you've been hearing from God, that you're not going to hear from God. Because you're going to adopt that mindset. And God isn't going to push himself on you. Okay? I know people personally who were brought up in Pentecostal churches that were stalwarts of the faith, that were solid believers in leadership, in churches and in ministries, that I looked up to and that I sat under for a while just indiscriminately, not in a church per se, but I was around them enough to where they impacted me. And they got around the wrong people. They got around the wrong colleges. And they came back with a certificate and a degree, but they don't have near the faith they used to have. They don't hear from God like they used to hear from him. Why? Because out of their own mouth they've said different things to contradict that God still speaks today audibly. When before, if we rewind the tape of their life, we could see that God used them in dynamic ways to say and to speak into other people's lives in dynamic ways with rhema words from heaven. But because of who they hung around, because of who they embraced, and because of the teaching that they embraced, bad company did corrupt. Bad company did corrupt spiritually. Jesus said, and this will drive the point home, Jesus said that a student is never greater than his teacher. So if you're being taught by somebody that doesn't believe in this, about the Devah or the Rhema Word of God, it's going to hinder your hearing from God, because you're never going to be greater and go higher than the one that you're sitting under. That ought to make every pastor in America shake in his shoes every Sunday morning, because what we say has weight. What we say, a lot of people just take, they believe it, they don't look it up for themselves. Statistics show 20 to 25% of all people that are in churches every week consistently don't need to come to church. They have their own Bible study time. They have their own worship time. They read and they study the Bible all by themselves. They don't need a pastor preaching to them. They don't need a Sunday school, but they come because they know that it's the right thing to do, and they come because they want to pour into other people. And that sounds great, but what that means is up to 75% of people that are in churches every week don't open this book ever when they get home. Ever. So whatever is said to them in Sunday school, whatever is said to them from the pulpit by somebody who may not believe in the Rhema Word of God and everything that this book teaches, whatever is said is grabbed a hold of and believed and put in them, and they walk it out. And they walk it out. Was talking to somebody at Thanksgiving, and she had the misfortune of sitting next to me at the table. She was family, so don't worry. And I just felt like I was supposed to start talking. I know that's not a miracle. But really, I wasn't in the mood to be talking. I wasn't talking that much the whole day. And she sat down, and all of a sudden, my spirit started churning. Now, this one's been in church for a long time. As long as I've known her, as long as I've ever heard about her, she's been in church a long time, has led youth. And doesn't just go to church anywhere she goes. They get plugged in, brother. I mean, they get all in. They go all in. She reads the word all the time. She has a dynamic prayer life. And all of a sudden, this stuff just comes out of me, just starts coming. And she drops her fork, and she's looking at me, and I can tell the look on her face that she has never heard this before. And a few times she said, "You know what? That's fascinating. I've never thought about that before." And all I did was share 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 through 55 with her. No, I'm just kidding. 1 Samuel chapter 3, as I was led, I started sharing about the voice of God, and how God speaks to his kids. And she was like, "You know, I've never heard God speak before." She said, "It comes down to discipling, doesn't it?" I said, "Yes and no." I said, "Samuel was under the right person. It's all in being discipled by the right people to hear the voice of God. People that will encourage you, people that will teach you." So not everybody knows. And it's sad. It's sad that's the case. But the great thing about Raccoon Creek is for many of us in here, that's not the case. All because of who we sat under before. You know, all because of what was taught before. But you know what? There's a whole lot of people out there that don't know what you know. I tell my kids all the time, your friends do not know what you know. And it's not because your daddy's a preacher. They didn't know what you knew before I became a pastor. There's adults that are around you that don't know what you know. No matter how long you've been in church and serving Jesus, they don't know what you know. And they don't believe what you believe, because to them it sounds funny. To them it sounds weird. But what relationship isn't based on communication? What relationship isn't based on communication? I told the kids in the Sunday school class this morning, I asked them a question. I said, "You know, hey guys," I said, "what would happen if you came home from school this week on Monday, and the whole week you came in, put your books down, you sat on the couch, you turned the TV on, then when your mom or dad said it was time for dinner, you got up and you ate, you didn't say a word, you sat back down for another hour, you got a shower, hopefully, and you went to bed. And you didn't say anything to anybody for a whole week." I said, "What do you think would be said?" And one of them said, "Well, they'd ask what was wrong with me." Exactly. What's wrong? "Mom, I'm not bleeding. I'm not crying. I'm not walking with a limp. What makes you think there's something wrong?" "You're not talking. You're not communicating. You're not saying anything. There's something wrong if you're not saying anything." Oh, if we had that mindset in the church. Oh, if we had that mindset to where we would get in our prayer time, or we'd be riding down the road, or we'd be reading the word, or we'd walk in church and we'd say, "You know what? I haven't heard from God in a while. What's wrong? Is it him or me? Because it's probably me. There's probably something wrong with me. There's probably some hindrance with me." But too many times we walk through life in a relationship with God and we think nothing about silence. And it's just crazy to me. It doesn't make any sense. But a lot of times it's because people don't think about any of that stuff. They just don't think. I'm punching my card. I'm reading my Bible, maybe. I'm going to Sunday school, maybe. Maybe I'm showing up on Wednesday night. I've got it licked. I'm good. When payday comes, I'm going to get a raise. It's not about that. Hearing the voice of God is the most powerful thing in your life. Hearing God speak to you is the most powerful thing you can ever have happen to you. Ever have happen to you. Knowing that God's speaking. Please stand. We'll continue and finish this part of this series next weekend. Next Sunday. But if you still have a burden this morning, that you didn't lay down during worship, the Holy One's still able to do what he needs to do. You can still lay it down. You didn't miss the boat. The door didn't shut. It's still available for you. If you did lay it down, go ahead and draw closer to him. Go ahead and draw close. Draw me close. Draw me close, God. That's where I want to be. Mark.